I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
And we are
Liberty Ghost Hunters! Coming to you live from Liberty Ghost Hunters HQ, a.k.a.
Our dining room! Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another podcast episode of Liberty Ghost Hunters. It has been quite a while since we've done one of these. Unfortunately, I had something happen back in March. I had a death in the family, and I haven't been in the mood. Plus, with COVID and everything, we really haven't had any investigations, so everything kind of got by the wayside. But we are back.
And we had an investigation.
And we've had an investigation.
The first time on an investigation for some people.
So, around the table this evening with us tonight, to my left,
Joe.
Brittany.
Brian.
Stephanie.
Thank you guys for coming, hanging out with us tonight for this podcast. So, more so why Joe and Brian are here, which we'll get into, is we did an investigation at a Masonic Lodge. Up in the Litchfield area.
Beautiful lodge building. It was one of the most beautiful lodge rooms I have seen. And I've been to about 10. But I think this one was the best. It was clean,
neat, oh my God,
comfortable.
Clean.
So nice.
Almost no dust.
The benches were comfortable.
The bathroom, superb. Like, everything was...
We may have to give them a certificate.
I'm going
to
certify that bathroom.
The stained glass of St. Paul was really pretty.
Many pictures of past masons.
Around the lodge was also extremely gorgeous. They had these old things, like, to tie horses to all the way down the street. And they had one almost a little bit to the side of where the Masonic Lodge was.
Historical area.
Well, it was in the historic district.
Yes.
So this building, I did do some history of the building. And the building was originally a Methodist church. Then they built a new Methodist church building.
Yep.
Then, more recently, a few years ago, they sold the Methodist church building. And
now they're renting from the Masons.
Now they're back in their original building and they rent it from the Masons. So that's pretty cool, like full circle.
Absolutely.
Absolute historic district, beautiful town, beautiful building. Like I said, that lodge room was very nice. It wasn't scary to walk into at all. It wasn't creepy.
No, not at all.
Our hosts were absolutely amazing.
A lot of, our hosts were really very nice, very good people. I knew one of them. I've known him for a couple years now, and he's a really good person. I like him a lot. And just very inviting. And that whole area seems inviting. One thing, there was a lot of steps to get in, so getting all the equipment up there. Thankfully, we have the dollies
The
trolley dollies. which have the three wheels so you can get up down the stairs easy with the equipment.
It wasn't major.
And no, it wasn't bad.
And we had more people, so everyone took one item and we were done.
Yeah exactly, which was
because
nice.
Because we have two cases, and we put everything else in the trolley dollies.
Yep.
And then we had the table. I usually bring a chair because I have to sit for a long time, and if it's not a comfortable chair, Diana's not happy. So.
Well, you don't want your feet going numb or whatever, your blood get cut off or whatever, so.
But it went very smooth, I mean.
Setup was great.
And it was our first time, well, it was my first time laying eyes on it. The only person that has seen it lodge before was John.
Yep.
Did Martinelli see it?
Yes.
Oh. But, we had to learn it and. But very pleasantly surprised at how nice it was in there.
With that, when we set up, we got everything figured out, hot spots. The girls, Brittany, Steph, Jen, did their walk.
They each did individual walks, so we have them on camera saying their results of their walks. So Stephanie walked alone, wrote down her thoughts. Brittany walked alone, Jen, and so forth, and we recorded them talking.
One of the fun parts for me for that is when the girls came back, and we record everything for posterity, and the girls write their stuff down, don't say anything, and then they just line up one after the other, speak and talk about what they've gotten and what they wrote down and things like that. And to see the three of them be so in tuned that they're all getting the same thing.
Or very similar.
Or very similar
things. But we each picked up on different things, too.
Right. So it's like, Brittany, you and Jen would match up on something, and Jen and Steph would match up on something, and then Stephanie and you would match up on something.
Right.
So everybody's kind of validating each other, which I was just sitting there with the camcorder like, wow.
Because I didn't tell them anything about the building.
No.
I didn't tell them anything about the historic district. I do all that research and keep it
private. The only thing we did know is that it was a Masonic lodge. That's pretty much all we knew. Yeah. See, I missed Brittany's talk beforehand because I was still walking. So I don't even know if me and Brittany stuff.
Yep.
And Jen was still downstairs when Stephanie did her talk.
Right.
So she didn't hear what Stephanie said.
Yeah, I had to go down
either.
And get Jen to bring her up for her part.
Being the Virgo that she is.
Mm-hmm.
Very
but
detailed.
I can say with confidence there were times the three of you guys, whether it be Brittany, Jen, or Jen, Stephanie, or like I said, Stephanie, you and Brittany, would corroborate.
Do you want me to play it for the podcast to hear it? It's only about a minute and a half of each of them talking.
We could put that in, if you'd like. We can put that in right about now.
All
right.
Okay.
All right, so I walk through the door, and the first thing that caught my eye is the portrait of the man in the hallway. So then I come in, and I'm getting like an organ player, a piano player, someone who's playing something with his fingers. Then there's a gentleman with a shy disposition, but he's somebody who has to speak often, and he gets very nervous before he has to speak before a large crowd or in front of people. Then I got this symbol. It looks like an upside down triangle, but it's like on top of each other, and they gradually get smaller as you go up. There's a man, and he's up here, and he's telling me to come up. He's like, come up, come up, come up. And I'm like, I can't. And he's like, okay. And then he points to the stained glass window and then holds his heart.
Okay.
And then he sits down over on that desk. And then there's the man in the hallway. Actually, the man here brought me in the hallway, pointed to the picture, brought me upstairs and pointed to the bookshelf. I think there's a book up there or something that's related to the man in the portrait. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Okay. My notes.
All right, Steph.
All right. So I have an older man. He presented himself with a key. I found a teddy bear. Again, I'm clairvoyant, so I get images of things, so sometimes I don't connect them. But I got a teddy bear. Something happened at the end of July, early August, that holds a lot of weight in this building. I don't know if it was this July or August, or just a July and August in general, but something happened at the end of July, early August, that holds a lot of weight. Someone either passed or was injured by an insect bite of some sort. And the death of someone caused something, it caused a lot of people to leave something. Like someone passed and it caused separation of some sort. The image I got was a woman who was either murdered or had like a botched abortion. And I just saw this like woman's body with like a slice across her stomach. So I'm trying to interpret that, and those are just some of the things that I came up with.
Could it be like a childbirth, maybe?
Maybe.
C-section?
C-section, possibly. And then before I left that room, I got a really sharp pain in my back. So I don't know what that was, but those are things that I kind of just picked up on going through.
Okay. We'll wait for Jen. You're saying what you got, what happened downstairs.
Downstairs? I like downstairs. I like downstairs a lot. There's someone, I get very female energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's someone from before when it was a church or it's someone related to someone down there, but they're very homey, but they're very like protective of the place. I got up from one of the chairs I was sitting by, like there's this clock down there that was like whittled by somebody, which I'll bring up in a second too, but I was sitting there and I was sitting in the chair, and then when I got up, at first I turned, and then it was like someone was like, push the chair. Like they're very protective of it. They really like it to look nice and clean down there. That's like their spot where they kind of hang out.
I pulled a few things for that person. I was trying to talk to them for a little bit. Something very, things related to this person is sewing and symbols. So I don't know if they were related to someone in masonry and they like helped make things for it, like tapestries, robes, anything that do with sewing and symbols. Or if they were like, it feels older than, I don't know how long Eastern Star has been here, but it feels older than that. They've been here for a long time, so it could be. I can't tell if she was related with that or married to someone in masonry, but there's like kind of a connection there. And I got keys. She likes to cook and help with cooking. There's something to do with like that kind of like homey energy in there.
So you got a key connection?
Keys and teeth.
Who got here handed the key? Stephanie.
Yeah, something with keys and teeth. I don't know if the teeth was a side thing. It was part of the card and I paid attention to it, but the keys for sure. Let's see. She may have had a pet goose. A really odd goose or a duck, some kind of furry, chubby animal that I saw like her feeding it. So I don't know if she raised geese or had farmland or someone around, or it could be an interjecting message. Some with geese or ducks.
Okay.
There was also my eyes started burning at some point downstairs, and I don't know if that's related to smoke in general or if the lights are irritating me, but it was very swift and very passing. Like, not like I actually got something in my eye, but it was just like a burning. Let's see. Downstairs, there's that clock on the table. It's a little bit dusty. It's like a whittled clock. It's like, it has like a plaque that almost looks like two corresponding names. So it could have been like made by a son for a father kind of thing. I kept thinking like, is it broken? Like this should be up somewhere. Like maybe someone who did make it kind of wants it up or would like to see it up. But I mean, don't let me boss you around. Do what you want. Just something to note for investigations, a lot of clicking downstairs from the heater, so that'll be on the audio a lot, as well as like the like fridges and stuff. Also, you can hear everything up here, like talking, so and footsteps, so you'll hear that on the audio. I was drawn downstairs, there's a paper, something hanging. The 1-4, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but like it's like Magnolia chapter 16. It's like a government thing. There's something on there. But I just don't know what it is, if it correlates. There's one in the bottom left. It's like, it says Magnolia number 16, and then something to do with government. And there's like names. Okay. Something with that. Like in when walking the room, there's a lot of draw there. Eastern Star, maybe it's something related, I don't know. when I'm on this side of the room, my left head hurts, like my temple. Something on the left side hurts on that side.
Stephanie did.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like, but it's like, it follows me wherever I go. From here, there's a lot of draw towards the piano organ place near that painting, kind of around that area, and this desk. But my head hurts the whole time, so I don't know if it's from the same person from here to here, but it's something in that area, but it's definitely like hits the side of my head.
Brittany had stuff about the desk.
About the desk?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I looked at the pictures, three people, I couldn't stop looking at three different pictures. There was Glenn Williams, RJ Plum, and like Newton Hole, Brooke. I'm not getting out of thin air, I just read it. There's no trick there. Those are the three that I looked at. A little bit of heaviness here, but like I'm not surprised at that. There's always a lot of energy here. Heard a lot of like gavel sounds. To check your entrances. Who? Oh, the clock. I keep thinking who donated it. If it was donated or if it was like a for a special occasion. Something with the clock.
I don't know.
But something, that's the only thing I thought of. It's like a really brief moment. And upstairs, this might be more pre-dead. There's a lot of energy in that corner, but there's also a lot of old books. I got the feeling there's either someone used to like to sit up there and study or something from someone's study is up there. in that corner. Either they sat there or something got moved from a different study and is sitting
Brittany up there. Brittany said she felt like someone's book is on there.
There's something in front that belongs to somebody, so it kind of sits there. There's also something with the cases, but I don't snoop in with something that Casey felt, but it's on my computer there. Let's see. Who likes ships? Like, I know that's not much of a, like, draw. Like, I mean, there's ships around. Like, obviously someone has ships, but someone's like, they like ships. Later, we need to take a picture from this angle looking that way.
Okay.
Is what I got. I felt like there was something else, but.
So we'll put a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Is there something behind the doors up there? Or is that like a utility closet?
That's for the attic.
The attic, okay. Because I wanted to open it, but I didn't.
There's two. There's one there, and there's one in that room.
Okay, this room is very calm. Over here, it almost feels newer.
That's going to be the control center.
Yeah, it's like newer, like that has less draw to it.
That part of the building is added on to this. Mm-hmm. Got remodeled.
Yeah, I got that feeling. Like that's very, if you need a breather, you go in there.
My world will be in there.
Yeah. That's
about it. Okay, so now that we played that again and played that for our audience, what do you ladies think?
So now that I've heard Brittany's, I think it's kind of interesting that almost all of us had picked up something about the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen picking up about the key as well. We never really solved what the key was, but still the fact that we both picked up on a key.
Yes, we did. Gentleman Mark. Yeah. He went into the desk that we were all pointing to and pulled out a jewel. Is that what they call jewels?
It was like a necklace.
It looked like two keys in
that's
a treasure.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
So the treasurer's desk is the desk that's in question. And the emblem of the treasurer is two keys that intersect with keys teeth facing down. So that would be the keys that is being referenced. It's a Masonic thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they would the desk that you guys were talking about, the keys that you guys that deal with that desk that you're talking about, it's the treasurer's desk.
So that ties y'all together.
and hence why I'm sitting there like,
this is awesome.
You're all getting that, and I'm like, oh, this is getting good.
And there's multiple of us that picked up that there was something in that bookcase that belonged to
someone. You and Jen both picked up on
Right.
I found out later when I was talking about the gentleman who was like, come up. And he was pointing to the stained glass when he put his hand on his heart. Mark had explained to me that there was somebody who had passed away.
Yep.
And made sure there was money for
who
it.
Who gave money to the lodge and it went towards that stained glass.
Right. Well, from what was explained to us was that the money was given by the brother to the lodge to have something major done to the lodge to make it better, and they decided to have the stained glass put in. So the money that he donated when he passed is what went to pay for the stained glass window.
And that's a beautiful stained glass window.
Oh, absolutely. It's gorgeous.
And the woman in the basement, she came up throughout the whole investigation. Mm,
yeah.
Which we'll talk about as we get further into
See,
the
I was picking up more on the other energy, which we'll talk about later, but I was picking up more on this thing rather than the woman down in the basement. I think that was more overpowering for me, so I very rarely had picked up on the woman, and I didn't really feel her until I was actually in the basement itself.
With that being said, with this investigation as well, besides the three of you ladies lining up like you did with the evidence, the keys and everything else, this was Joe and Brian's first investigations.
Yes.
Where they were on teams doing stuff, helping out with
the
actual
first time in a building.
In the building from scratch.
Setting up equipment, everything.
Everything. Yeah. So, yeah. Joe, what's your opinion? What do you think?
I was very nervous because I just wanted to do my best and help everybody out. When everybody referenced the treasurer's desk, I actually sat in that desk, and we'll talk about that later, what my experience was there. It actually validated everything that they were talking about, and then some. So it was very interesting for me, And it kind of it touched me both personally and literally. We'll talk about that. But it was cool. I was glad to be aboard for this one. This is good.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. What about you, Brian?
Same here. I was a little nervous at the beginning. I was always worried that I'd be the one that would mess something up. I'd trip on a cable and knock it out.
That happens. That, you know.
He kept saying that throughout the whole investigation too. I don't want to trip on anything.
Yeah.
It happens. It happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody.
You could close a safe door on a wire.
Yeah. Why'd we lose the camera? Oh, there's a safe door shut. What happened to the wire? It's in two pieces now. Yeah, it happens. We got...
Who did that, Chris?
Oh no.
In the one investigation before he did that, I actually flung a camera... Tripod and all, I did not see that cable. I almost went down. And that camera just flying across the room. I'm like, oh my God, did I break the thing? And I pick it up and it's still working. I'm like, thank God. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, so it happens. It happens.
I feel better now. If it happens in the future, I won't feel quite as bad.
It's happened to every single one of us.
Mm-hmm. That's why we tape the wires down for safety.
Did you experience anything?
I did experience a few things. I guess when we start to get to the different rooms and all that, I can chime in with a little of that. But I did feel a little something here and there a couple times, and it was just great to be a part of it and great to help out.
Well, good. I'm glad that both of you guys had a good time with this one.
Appreciate it.
And your efforts are greatly appreciated helping out. Yes. It's nice to, you know, you guys have been helping us out with evidence review and things like that. Move you up, you know, from interns and stuff. So it's nice.
We graduated.
So. We're inducted now.
So
let's not get too wild. All right.
So yeah, it was. I think personally, it was one of our best investigations, and we've done quite a few investigations of lodges, and I think this is one of the best ones we've done for Masonic lodges, bar none. And we've done quite a few really good investigations. And I look forward to doing more investigations in that lodge. I know we after we do this podcast, we're going to be breaking up and doing evidence review because we've got so much audio to go through and video to go through. And so it's going to take us some time to get through that. And then holidays and then more investigations, more evidence from there. So
I know I'm looking forward to... going back to sit in those comfy chairs.
Their benches were great.
I wish the benches in my lodge were like that. Night and day. Night and day. But that's one of the good things about that lodge are those benches. Absolutely.
Yes.
So, we'll take a break right here and come back with some details about our investigation and what happened from there. And we're back. Going over with this investigation, we broke up into two teams. So it was myself, Stephanie, Joe, Chris. Then the other team was Jen, Brittany, and Brian.
Diane. I was at the control center.
And you were at the control center.
And the other two people from the lodge just stayed in the lodge mostly and just observed.
Right, which when I give my speak, we talk about safety, things like that.
Say a prayer.
And then I let them decide what they want to do as far as whether they want to go with the team, whether they want to stay at a specific location. And it's since it's their facility that we're in, that's their call. So they decided to stay in the main lodge room, which is fine. Myself, Stephanie, and Joe and Chris, we got some weird stuff going on.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm from Brittany, who you were saying while we were off and that little break is... that you guys, whenever we were having something going on, it was like quiet for you guys? Is that what you were...
So we had stuff going on, but it wasn't as crazy. Like, it seemed to have followed your group a little bit.
Okay.
Like, for instance, like, when you guys were upstairs in the lodge, we were downstairs in the basement, and we were interacting with the woman downstairs, right, trying to see if we can get, like, some answers. We did notice the back corner was a little bit more... active in the basement,
mm-hmm,
than any of the other parts, but we think it might be due to an electrical box that's over in that area.
But the woman that was down there, she just seemed very scared. And that's really all we really were able to get down there, is that she was scared. And there wasn't really much else going on. Like, we were asking questions, and obviously we still have to review evidence. So we don't know. Maybe we did get more than we thought. But it just seemed quieter.
Mm-hmm.
While upstairs, because you can hear everything.
Upstairs was hopping.
It felt like it was, like, the hotbed of what was going on.
Well, this is kind of fun, you know, fun doing the podcast before we actually go over any of the evidence. Other than the one video.
Plus, we haven't really gotten together and discussed what each team found.
Exactly. That's right. Why what makes for a wonderful podcast.
Because we'll have a part two.
Yeah, definitely. But I can totally understand what you're saying. I mean, when our group went down there, definitely going to have to check that back area and meter it out. Although we were having problems with the Mel meter and some stuff.
That back area,
it just, I don't know. I had to put
on the table because it sucked all the batteries out of the walkie-talkies.
Yeah, talk about for...
Is I had to put one of those energy, we call them EMF pumps, but they're...
Yeah, just, it's an EMF pump.
On the table with batteries in it. So whatever was drawing the power wasn't going to kill our other batteries.
Because our phones wouldn't work down there either.
The weird thing about this whole thing is I personally charged everything the night before, left it overnight to charge everything. So all the camcorders were charged, the walkie-talkies. I made sure we had plenty of AA, AAA batteries, 9 volts, everything. Packed everything up. We went to set up everything. Every single walkie-talkie died. We were having problems with one of our cameras that we put up.
No, the one that didn't die was the one that was with me.
The one that didn't die was with Diana. The camera that was upstairs in the library area.
In the choir loft.
Yeah, it used to be a choir loft.
Me and Stephanie are trying to connect.
That one wasn't working. I see a perfect vision on the camera, and I see Joe, and then all of a sudden,
I literally had to pray over the camera. And I kid you not, prayed over the camera and said, look, I'm a Brother Mason. We're just here to help, to find out what's going on, why you're here, if everything's okay. We're not here to hurt anybody. Soon as I did that, camera was fine.
And it was beautiful and perfect. Whereas the cameras that were in the basement, which next investigation I want to change the placement, those things were fuzzy as heck.
And it's hard to place the cameras down there, too, because there's poles. Yeah. There's, like, these giant
poles. It's all the support beams. Yeah, the support beams.
Either way, both of those cameras down there were fuzzy the whole time.
They were never
clear once. And every other camera in that building was crystal clear.
Yep.
So just in case, for the next investigation, I did order another set of the power... Where I plug the power in to the DVR.
It's a four-way power.
It's like a hub. So I said, well, maybe it's the power hubs, because sometimes those go.
We also got four new things of 150-foot BNC cables.
Yeah, we ordered new cable, and I ordered new power hubs. So maybe that'll fix it.
Right.
So this is something that we're going to have to debunk at the next investigation.
Absolutely.
Give it a try, yeah.
This is something like, you know, this is one of the big things we deal with in dealing with investigations is, first one is, okay, this is what we got. Okay, number two, let's debunk everything. Which kind of leads into, you know, we're talking about debunking here and things going weird and having to put an EMF pump downstairs, one upstairs because all the batteries are going and everything else. And we lose both laser grids we used. And those had brand new batteries and full, you know, charged. And we do that and everything seems to be okay. But by then, we don't have enough time to charge the walkie-talkies or anything else. But that leads into, Joseph, your experience.
It was really...
So, before we start that, it started with Diana, ultimately. Because, if I'm not mistaken, you were the one who told Joe to go sit in a chair, were you not?
Yes, I said someone needs to sit at the treasurer's desk, because I was sitting, you know, I'm alone back there, and I do shut off the light. So I'm kind of focused in on the building, I'm watching the cameras, and then I remember the walkthroughs from the girls, and I remember desk, 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 and that just keeps playing in my head. So I'm like, you know what? First I said, someone needs to sit at the treasurer's desk. Then I said, someone needs to open lodge, just because that's what you were getting. I mean, I can't explain it.
Just the vibe you got.
It's so, like they have to open lodge. They have to open lodge.
So, first thing we do with our group is Joe says, okay, you want somebody to sit at the treasurer's desk? I'll sit there. You can go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so so Stephanie was asking questions. John was asking general questions, I believe. I think Stephanie was at the officer's chairs. I sat at the treasurer's desk. I think I was asking things along the lines of, you know, are there any Masons there? Does anybody like me sitting here?
When did Mark open lodge while you were...
I think that was after.
After the fact.
Yeah. And then I was asking, like, would anybody be mad if I, like, handled money? I was asking just general questions. And then all of a sudden, like, my neck started hurting, right? So at first I ignored it. Maybe I thought I was getting itchy or anxious, whatever. And then the more questions I asked, it got hotter. And I'm like, and then I alerted John. I'm like, listen, my neck is hurting. I'm getting up. And then I went over to him. Him and Chris trying to flashlight on me, and my neck was a little bit red there. And
he had a scratch mark on him, and it was red.
Yeah.
And I took a couple photographs of it, which we'll put on our website. But yeah, he got scratched.
It was very strange. Someone did not want me sitting there, and I was happy to move because I've never had an experience like that.
And I thought I was the one to get scratched because I was sitting. Was it the master's chair?
You were sitting in the master's chair.
I was sitting in the master's chair, and you know, women and Masons.
Well, no, they have an Eastern Star there, so that's totally viable.
Okay, but I was sitting there, and I was provoking questions and stuff, and nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, you had nothing going on.
Yeah.
I'm walking around with the camcorder.
But your questions were respectful. They weren't lawful.
No,
you say provoking. Stephanie, you didn't provoke. You didn't say, hey, come at me.
I respectfully
Stephanie respectfully asked questions to try and get a response.
Yes.
She wasn't...
No, she wasn't provoking.
I just want to put negative. That straight.
Yeah.
She never sits there and does the negative provoke. We don't do that.
No,
her especially does not do that.
I'm a kind person.
Yeah, no, you are.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want you to
My smile lights up the room.
I just want to clarify it. You were asking questions that you would definitely get an answer to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you weren't provoking violence.
Wrong use of words.
No, it's all good. No, but before I had sat in the treasurer's chair, I was actually next to you in one of the officer's chairs, and I remember you saying things like, would you like me to move from this chair? Is it disrespectful for someone else to be sitting here who's not attending the lodge normally?
Light up the light on the REM pod if you want me out of the chair. Right, things
just,
like that.
Scratch Joe's neck. I'm just
going to
say that. I didn't say that.
No.
God. So, yeah, so for Joe to... Just sitting there and asking questions.
Well, I did in the back say, please give them a significant sign of your presence.
Oh, well, they gave me the sign.
Oh, they gave Joe the sign. There. Yeah, poor guy.
Not expecting that.
So we've had Chris slap twice, Joe scratched once. Yeah. And Diana and I both threatened.
But nice. Joe, now that you've felt that, and you've seen that lodge, but these other shows on TV, where they say, if all of a sudden it got really hot... Now, do you believe those people more?
A little bit, because honestly, because TV being TV, whatever, I'm not sure if they're
described it is how you described it.
It was. I wasn't even expecting anything like that. I was just, you know, going with the flow of our team, and it just came out of nowhere.
Because it didn't feel like a scratch, you said.
It felt warm. Maybe I thought I was just getting anxious, or maybe I had some layers on. Maybe I was just getting hot, but then it was just like in the one area. I'm like, okay, someone's touching me, someone's behind me, something. It was really pronounced. I couldn't ignore it anymore.
It also got weird, too, is I had the millimeter in my hand. So I got camcorder in one, millimeter in the other. And eventually I actually gave the camcorder to Joe because I take the pictures of Joe's neck. I took three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing that. And you walk away to go sit at the benches behind us.
Yes.
And that's when I hit that cold spot. And it just got real cold. And the temperature dropped on the millimeter. The millimeter is like a K2 meter and a temperature meter together. It measures both at the same time. So I'm dropping temperature quick. It was like 67 or 68 degrees, and it went down to like 61, 60-ish. Yeah,
because that lodge is beautifully temperature.
Yeah, no, it's got...
I mean, it was...
And it was, you know, set for, I think he said like 67, 66, 60 something in the laundry room for the building. We weren't freezing. You weren't cold. You weren't. Yeah, exactly. But yet, I'm getting this cold spot. So Steph comes down, and you felt the cold spot. Joe came back over, and he's feeling the cold spot. Chris is trying to videotape everything. And I'm just watching the numbers, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And not even 5 minutes after that, the Melmeter starts acting up. It's had nothing as far as EMF readings on it. It popped to a 0.2, and then it started acting weird. It wasn't giving any readings, and it was giving reading. It was just like blinking out. So to the point where I had to turn it off because I couldn't use it. It was just something was going on with it. Do you know that the next day I bench tested here at HQ and it's working fine?
Oh.
Wow.
I don't know what the heck happened to it or what, but it had to be something to deal with that cold spot or whatever was there. Didn't, because I'm literally voicing the temperature. So I think that might have provoked it to do something with the meter in my hand so I couldn't measure anything anymore.
And it was right in front of the officer's chairs where we just had previously asked all those questions. Maybe right. Something was drawing energy or something was happening.
I don't know.
Right there.
I don't
know. Maybe. Was more than one spirit there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I listened to a tiny bit of evidence. I caught three EVPs. And those were from the loft when we were just beginning. And, you know, John was going over the rules of the road and... You know, we were doing the prayer.
You know what I just thought of? You let us listen to one of the EVPs earlier, mm-hmm. and one of them said, come up. Do you remember during my walk, the gentleman was saying, come up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you think that might be tied to that, maybe?
It could be, but it sounded like a creepy child's voice.
Yeah, so, it was really creepy. But
and we did run into something that pretended to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
Which is may possibly the same thing that... Scratch poor Joe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because at that point, we took a quick break. We went downstairs, Brittany, you, Jen,
yeah,
and
so
Brian.
Yeah, so before we jump into that, while they were upstairs, the only thing that we had downstairs was there was this, the woman that Jen had picked up earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very scared. She was downstairs, and she was, like, hiding behind things. And she was, like, begging us not to use, like, the spirit box, begging us not to evoke anything. And we're like, oh, well, maybe she just doesn't want us to bring anything. We didn't know what was going on upstairs. So, like, you could vaguely hear, but you can't really hear, like, exactly what's going on.
Yeah, you can...
You can hear, like, muffled voices.
Right. Like, if you're upstairs, you can hear people downstairs. If you're downstairs, correct. You can hear people upstairs.
But we didn't know what was going on upstairs, so we told her, we're like, hey, we're not going to use the spirit box, we're not going to bring anything in here, we're like, we promise.
Yeah, because we sent you downstairs with the spirit box and speaker.
Then we switched off, and you could...
Yeah, so, I mean, it was... We get downstairs, Stephanie's picking up on the woman, and she's trying to interact with it. We're trying to interact with it, with the K2 and everything else, and talk to it, and... I could feel, because I was sitting towards the back of the room, towards that corner you were talking about, and I could feel like somebody was, by the fan, and I could feel like somebody's walking behind me, but then there's nobody there. So that kind of wigged me out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but from what Stephanie was saying, that was the woman who was walking back, like pacing almost. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. And then I hear a knock upstairs.
So we upstairs, we had Mark open Lodge. Because for whatever reason, we were getting this really dark feeling towards the treasurer's chair.
Mm-hmm.
Joe had mentioned he had been scratched, so we knew about that beforehand. But me and Jen, like, we're not usually, like, afraid. But, like, we did not want to sit or go anywhere near that chair.
And then Diana comes out with the open the lodge.
So he opens the lodge, and all of a sudden, the whole room, like, lifts. Like, it's almost like all the heavy energy. Like, I could sit in the treasurer's chair now. Like, everything just lifted.
Now, and that's I got the camcorder, the IR camcorder. We have three SEMA lights, which are IR illuminators. And we have this big one, which uses 9-volt battery. It was working fine. All of a sudden, we get downstairs after I hear that knock. That's out. So Joe runs upstairs, grabs me the one with the 9-volt battery, and comes back down. So I set that all up. I'm recording, and I pray I got it on the camcorder because I could literally see the four of us were talking about these lights we could see on the stairwell.
Yes.
But they're not flashlights because walked over there, nobody's near the stairs.
No.
Nope. So we're seeing this flickering light, and all four of us are seeing this flickering light.
It was
light.
Clear as
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
and Chris is freaking out. I wish Chris was here, but he tell you, he was freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a conversation afterwards, and or next day or 2 days later, he's like, when he saw the lights, he knew things got real.
It was almost as if someone had turned on the lights in the hallway, but no one did.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it almost was. Yeah. That's how bright
it was.
We'll
have to check back at the camera, see if one of us stepped into the hallway or something.
But
with a
that's
flashlight.
How bright. Yeah, well, no, it didn't look like a flashlight. No. It was like, bam, in your face.
Yeah, like, we were expecting like somebody to come down the stairs immediately. Like,
It wasn't
then,
a flashlight.
So what I see in them, this is what I'm hoping I got on the camcorder, please, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, is I could see with my own eye something like a shadow just clear now that they have your typical fold-up chairs downstairs with the padding on the seat. I could see this shadowy thing moving behind the chairs along the wall as soon as you walk down the stairs, going across. And I'm like, I'm trying to pan with the camera to keep up with it. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And that whole room changed.
It was about child's height, too. It was pretty low to the ground.
I thought it was a child at first. Because it was, whatever this thing was portraying itself as a child and was
even
trying...
Even the voice we heard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It was portraying itself as a child. And I think if we had talked to this thing more, it probably would have started playing with the toys and pretending to be the child.
Right.
You know what's funny, though? You say a child. When we were upstairs in the loft, I don't know if you remember me being like, I feel like there's like a small dog. I remember being like, there's a small dog up here.
Oh.
And then I kind of like panned away from it. But like, that could have been possibly.
Like I said, it wasn't normal head of a person, but it was like just clearing maybe an inch or two, three, just over the back of those folding chairs.
Now, when you describe that, all that comes to mind is imp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I have no idea.
Impish, like a little.
Yeah.
I can't even explain.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like hunched over type of thing. Yeah.
Meanwhile, upstairs, it's clear as
shit. So at this point, it's like, okay, we need to rally here because something's going on. Chris is nervous. Joe's getting a little nervous because he can feel the energy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then Steph's like, this is not good. So we go upstairs to rally.
Shut it down.
Not shut it down. No. Just
regroup,
figure, come up with a game plan.
But then the creepiest thing that happens is.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Brittany says, it's only here because someone said no.
Yes.
And then
all of a sudden I had Mark close, because they came upstairs, told us what happened. I said, close the lodge.
So he closed the lodge.
The thing comes back. So I'm like, so this is what we have to do. I said, this thing is here. Because all of a sudden, I just got this, like, wave of information.
But she just said it so nonchalant. She's like, just, like, tell my little kid, oh, that kid needs his
I honestly think someone came through me to give this message. Because that's how clear it came out so quickly.
But she said it was
nothing.
Like,
yeah.
They're just saying that because someone said no. That's why it's here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's almost like someone came through me to say it because the words that were coming out of my mouth were coming out faster than it was going through my mind. So, like, for this, like, I remember saying, like, it's here because somebody was told no, they brought it here, and that this is how we need to clear it. Almost like it just, the wave came through.
So.
And whatever the information was came through, said that we need a mason in each part of the building.
Right.
We're going to open lodge so that this energy of the masons clears out the lodge room, so at least that's covered. But I need a mason downstairs, a mason in the back room, and a mason on the loft.
So that's what we did. We popped the front door.
Because it was afraid of masons.
We put...
And it would harass the spirit downstairs when lodge was in session.
So there was three of us in corporeal form. And who knows how many in spirit form. And whatever it was, we got it out. And
we have videos of, like, the shadow hunching where Mark was in the loft.
Yeah.
Like, it tried to...
Diane and I saw
it. Oh, yeah, you guys were showing on the camera. Yeah, that was the creepy part.
It was, like, hunched between the bars on the loft. It was creepy.
Thing,
yeah.
It was just hiding.
Yeah, so that evidence we won't be able to put up until we present it to you. That lodge.
Well, we got to see if there's more.
But
just the way Brittany came up, she was like so nonchalant.
I've never.
The only reason that it's here is because someone said no.
It was so matter of fact.
But then we found out.
So yeah,
that indeed, it is because someone said no.
So we won't get into the details of it.
Right, but
it's yes. Just so someone was told no, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff which we won't talk about. But that conversation I had with the person validated everything that Brittany was talking about. And it was just like, wow.
It's surreal, really. Yeah.
It was almost like it wasn't me.
It wasn't
I've never, you know, saying open lodge.
No. It wasn't, I didn't come up with that. Like,
I've known you for 7, 8 years now. I've never heard you talk like that, first of all, in that mannerism.
And it came to be out so that strong.
Yeah, strong, but just matter of fact. Boom, this is what you need to do and end of story.
Like, you knew immediately.
Yeah. You knew immediately. Like, this is what you need to do. Do you got to clear this. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
And we did that, and that's what happened, and we were all good to go. And then it was like you were back yourself, and it felt so much lighter in the place. And was like, I didn't even notice that.
And then we closed up shop and went home because... Yeah. We all made a mutual decision that was not a good time to have a spirit box session.
No, it was
time
to
let things rest.
Yes, absolutely.
And move along.
So
the rest of our evening tonight is going to be evidence reviews.
Lots of evidence reviews.
And ice cream.
And ice cream.
More importantly, ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. So, folks, we will have more podcasts coming out soon enough when we can get evidence out to you guys. We will post it. But until next time, I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
I'm Joe.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Steph.
And we are
Liberty Ghost Hunters.